And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio, live from Red Rooster Winery on the Naramata Bench. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
One more time, I've been feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate and grant so free.
Hello, British Columbia, from the Cowichan Valley to the Thompson Valley and all 20 cities across the province listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Today we're on location at Red Rooster Estate Winery on the Naramata Bench, and our host is Visit Penticton, and our guest is their marketing manager, Paige Schultz. Paige, great to see you again.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.
Fun to have you here on the Naramata Bench. Now, a lot of people, when we say Naramata Bench, they immediately start thinking about all the wineries on the bench, but there's so much more now.
Yeah, definitely. We're definitely well known for the wine, but we have an incredible mix of breweries, cideries, distilleries.
Yeah.
We have our guests actually today on the show, Millionaire's Row Cider and Yellow Dog Brewing, that can get into that side of things.
Yep.
And then even within our wineries, there's a lot of variation, such as our guest Elephant Island Orchard Wines. Mm-hmm. So they offer fruit wine, and they also have a sister cidery, too.
Yeah. And so many food options now on the bench, in the winery, outside of the winery. It's really becoming a community here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, one of the things Penticton's really well known for are the markets, in particular the Penticton Farmers Market, which is, I think it's rated number one every year in the province. It's a great setup. Why don't you tell us about how it runs, where it runs?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have the Farmers Market on Saturdays. That runs from April through to October, from 8:30 to 1 p.m., so mm-hmm. a morning market. And then we also have the downtown Penticton Community Market. That's what kind of extends it a few more blocks down Main Street.
That's right. So it's all on Main Street.
Yeah.
One easy walk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And Naramata has a market, too, that people may not know about.
They do, yeah. So theirs is actually on Wednesday evenings. So if you're here during the week, then that's a fantastic one to visit mm-hmm. as well.
Now, historically, there was the old Peaches and Beaches. I think it was a line used by tourism way back when. But there's still a peach festival. But I don't actually know what goes on at the Peach Festival. Like, people just sit around and eat peaches? Or
So it's a week-long family-friendly event. So this year it's taking place August 9th to 13th. There's kind of something for everyone. There's parades, there's live music, entertainment, carnival rides, motocross. We have, food. There's just tons of things going on. So there's a little something for everyone. Mm. So if you're in town, it's definitely something you want to check out.
Busy time. Summer's a very busy time here, but a fun time with so many people in town. I'm sure you're busy all the time now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Paige, it's really great to catch up with you today and to talk a little bit about what's coming up on the show and what's available here across the Naramata Bench and in the Penticton and environs throughout the summer. We'll be back for sure. I'm sure people will be flooding in.
For sure.
Good luck with all that.
Yeah, thank you.
See you at the Peach Festival.
Yes, we will see you there.
That was Paige Schultz. She's the marketing manager. Visit Penticton. We're coming to you from Red Rooster Estate Winery on the Naramata Bench. Just a 25-minute bike ride or a one-hour walk along the KVR Trail from downtown Penticton. Next, we're joined by Elaine Vickers. She's the winemaker at Red Rooster Winery. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come from Red Rooster Winery on the Naramata Bench. Presented in part by Visit Penticton. Online at visitpenticton.com.
There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120 Reserva from Vina Santarita. Like reason number 11, it's Friday night and you have no obligations. Or reason number 37, your inbox is completely empty. It's all part of living La Vida 120, taking advantage of the simple side of life and enjoying every moment with the people you love with no complications. There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120. What's yours? Find out more at santarita.com. Penticton, a perfect place for outdoor adventures this summer. After a day full of activities, stop in for a visit to one of the almost 100 area wineries. Bask in the beautiful South Okanagan sunshine with a summer wine tasting and find your new favorite wine. Dine in world-class locally sourced restaurants and enjoy patio season too. It's the perfect destination for a relaxing summer getaway. Before you go, make sure to check for information on wine tours, winery events, and help in planning your trip online at visitpenticton.com.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Meet, greet, eat. Make your next event one to remember. Whether it's business or family, the newly renovated Conference and Event Center at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos has options for any occasion. From intimate gatherings to large celebrations, indoor or lakeside, you'll find everything you need at the Watermark. And when it's time to relax, enjoy breathtaking views as you savor the local flavors of 15 Park Bistro. Open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Find out more at watermarkbeachresort.com.
Discover award-winning wines in the stunning Okanagan Valley at Tinhorn Creek Winery, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wines sourced from the Golden Mile, or embark on a one-of-a-kind sensory adventure with a black glass blind tasting. And for delicious Mediterranean-inspired cuisine made with locally sourced ingredients, Mirador Restaurant is waiting. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. Tinhorn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Estates. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at liberestates.com. Simply great wines.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio, on location from Red Rooster Winery. Presented in part by Visit Penticton. Online at visitpenticton.com. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, and a shout-out to Bounce Radio Nelson and all other 19 cities across the province listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Today, thanks to Visit Penticton, we're on location at Red Rooster Estate Winery on the Naramata Bench, and our guest is none other than the winemaker, Elaine Vickers. Elaine, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Great to be here in person.
It is lovely to see you.
Yeah, you have such a great setting here just behind us, and you have quite an interesting vineyard. Let's just talk about that Malbec for a minute. It's kind of famous.
Yeah, sure. So we have about 2 acres of Malbec planted here on our estate. We're on Naramata Bench, just in Penticton. And yeah, we grow some nice Malbec from here that gets put into our red wine.
Yeah. And it's not so easy to grow, or it's always has it has its own life?
It has its own life. It likes to grow every which direction except for the direction that we want it to grow. And it likes to attach to the wires and never let go. So it's really hard to prune and everything. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Sounds like a bunch of little kids.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And we're trying to do some of the farming ourselves here. So Megan Trebek, the assistant winemaker, has a bit of a vineyard background. So she's been helping out, and Adam comes out and he's got the weed whacker, and he's doing every. We're doing everything naturally, so it's a bit of a task, but we love it. So
we like natural.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk a bit about your approach to winemaking here at Red Rooster.
Sure.
You've been here a while now, and there's been some great changes here in the styles of the wine and what's coming out of here. How would you explain Red Rooster to folks who maybe don't know it?
Yeah, so we've taken some traditional varietals, and we're just trying to make the wines in our bold and fun-loving style that we like to do here. So just a few little tweaks with some techniques, and anything really that we're reading about, we get to try. So we're really lucky that way, and most things have worked out. So yeah, wood on some whites, skin contact on some whites. Whole cluster for reds, carbonic maceration on reds. Yeah, we're trying a whole bunch of different things.
And we talked about the Malbec, but what are some of the varieties then that you're concentrating on here?
So we're doing a Sauvignon Blanc, which was new to me, but kind of fun. We've got Riesling, Viognier. We're doing a Chardonnay Surlis, so unfined, unfiltered, one of our favorites, natural ferment on that.
That's a delicious wine.
Yeah. What else do we got? We've got a Semillon, which is like a Hunter Valley sort of style.
Yeah.
So producing it just clean and crisp and then bottle aging for 2 years before releasing to get some of those sort of honeysuckle notes.
Don't forget your sparkling.
The sparkling wines, I was just going to bring up. We've got two sparkling wines, Brut, traditional method are for both of them. We've got a non-vintage Chardonnay Pinot Noir, and then we've got a rosé that's made out of Malbec.
Which we're going to taste right away here. Sparkling wine, it seems like it's having a moment now around the world, but it's having a big moment in BC. What do you think that's all about?
I don't know. It's just good, I think. I think a lot of people are realizing it's not just for celebrations now. It's more of an everyday wine, and it pairs really well with a lot of different food. So I think it's just gaining a bunch of respect and interest.
One of the things I love is sort of how the Italians have embraced Prosecco, and it's part of the afternoon deal. But our wine is much better than that. Like, we're making traditional method sparkling wine with high acid and, you know, some really complex flavors, I would say. And I think embracing that level of sparkling wine in BC is going to be great for everybody, especially for people like you who want to make that kind of wine.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think there's a lot of interest in the winemaking behind it, and we've got some groups that are meeting and talking about the sparkling winemaking, so where there's lots of support, which is good.
I should know more about Argentina sparkling wine, but I know it was sort of led by the French. You're making a Malbec sparkling wine. That's got to be unique in Canada.
I would think so, yes.
Yeah. Easy, hard, simple? What is this wine all about?
Yeah, so it's actually, it's not too bad to make. The base wine from the Malbec, we're doing a little bit of the skin contact to get some of the rosé color in there. And you get kind of like cran raspberry sort of characters out of the base wine, and then just keeping it kind of clean and with a nice acid levels, and then goes into second ferment in bottle. It sits on lees for about 2 years. And then just the dosage is more of Malbec wine that hasn't seen any oak, and get some nice color.
And let me say, I'm kind of a freak about the mousse, and you have tiny bubbles, which is always the best start to any sparkling wine, is not to be frothy. I just love the complexity of the bubble here and the flavor with the Malbec. It's a really lovely wine, and the color is amazing. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah.
Stay up at night for hours until you stop the color.
It's a little bit of fingers crossed, and then by having some Malbec red wine that hasn't seen any oak, we are able just to adjust the color slightly at the end there. Yeah.
We don't see any vintage on the bottle, but it's mostly a vintage every year.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
So don't be afraid of that, folks. The Red Rooster Sparkling Rosé and made from Malbec. This is a wine you should try. And a lovely label, too. I'm not sure what it's all about, but it looks pretty arty to me.
So we've got a picture of the lake on it, and then just some of the base wine, rosé, and then that's a stainless steel tank. So showing the aging in the stainless steel.
No picture of you, Elaine. What's going
There's
on
There's no
here?
Picture of me.
Yeah, well,
maybe I don't.
There's always time. Our guest is Elaine Vicker. She makes the wine here at Red Rooster, which is really a spectacular, peaceful site overlooking the bench and the lake here on Naramata Bench. Let's talk about Gewürztraminer. That's another wine that people sort of gloss over. You've chose to make it in a very particular style. Again, a complex style. Are you a complex person?
Maybe I like to think I'm complex. I don't know if I really am that complex. But I love making Gewürztraminer, so I feel like you can do so much with it, with the skin contact, picking early and late, the amount of residual sugar you're leaving behind. But for us, we're actually fermenting half and aging half of this goo in a nice oak foudre. So we've got two sort of 2,000-liter foudres.
What's a foudre for people who don't know?
It's a big oak tank.
A very big one, which means there's less oak and more juice.
Correct.
So less influence, but maybe more oxygen.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Well, it's a delicious wine. Both of these wines are great food wines. I can think of 100 things to have with them, which is another nice thing to have in your hat when you're making wine.
Yeah.
Do you think much about food when you make wine, or do you try not to cloud that brain?
Yeah, I try not to. I we try to make the wine taste the best that we can for just taste on its own. Mm-hmm. So we love it when people come in and they try the wine on the, on its own, but we do know that it's going to pair well with food. I always like to have at least one sort of wine that's going to go with some spicy food, so maybe a slightly sweeter wine. Mm-hmm. And then just, yeah, complement sort of nice.
So I have a couple quick questions. Yep. One thing I learned today is that you have a live chat concierge here.
Yep.
Do you ever phone and ask any questions?
I haven't. I've phoned and like booked some appointments, but I haven't asked any questions.
Oh, yeah. You should ask questions.
I bet you it's entertaining.
They'd be great for the next meeting. Okay. What can people do when they come to Red Rooster?
Yeah. So we have a bunch of different unique tasting experiences here. So we have a signature sensory series of tasting wines. We have a really cool sort of black glass blind tasting, so wow. You can't see what the wine is in your glass. Yeah. You can't tell if it's white or if it's red, and you can taste the wine strictly off of the aromatics.
And people would be shocked how much that changes your thinking.
Yes, for sure. I think they do offer maybe a prize if you guess the varietals right or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have a winemaker's experience going on in July and August, which you can book, and you can get a tour of the cellar and chat with myself and Megan and Adam. So yeah. That should be fun. That's Thursdays. And then Fridays through August and July, we're also doing a wind down hour. So you can come and relax on this beautiful patio with a lovely scenery of Penticton and enjoy a glass of wine. And there's some live music.
Yeah. And you have, there's some bites to eat here as well.
Correct. Yeah. So we've got Cocktails and Canopies doing some small bites for us.
Yeah.
From now, May, all the way through to October. So it's a lovely place to just sit and relax and have some food. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Elaine, so great to catch up with you and try these two wines. We've been tasting the Sparkling Rosé made from Malbec and the 21 Gewürztraminer. Mm-hmm. Just two of many of the wines available here at Red Rooster.
Mm-hmm.
It was great to chat with you today.
Thanks. Thanks so much for having
Thanks so much, and we'll catch up with you soon. Good luck with the season.
Yes, thank you.
That was Elaine Vickers, winemaker, Red Rooster Winery. We're coming to you from Red Rooster on Penticton's Naramata Bench. Up next, Nelson Annibal. He's the head of marketing and sales of Millionaire's Row Cider Co. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismarty.
There's more to come from Red Rooster Winery on the Naramata Bench. Presented in part by Visit Penticton. Online at visitpenticton.com.
It ain't easy being number one, and it ain't too modest either. Indulge in your next tomahawk steak at the Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. Voted Kelowna's second best steak and second best fine dining establishment. We hate to brag, but that's an awful lot of modesty. Book your table now at www.modestbutcher.com. The Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. See ya today.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismani with 2 Minutes in the Cowichan. Our guest is Kenzie Knight from Tourism Cowichan. Cowichan is one of the province's key regions for winemaking, and they're making some really vibrant Pinot Noirs and Chardonnays, and it's getting better and better every day. How many wineries are there in the Cowichan?
Yeah, that's right. Cowichan is home to 14 wineries. It was designated as an official wine region. This is because of Cowichan's warm Mediterranean-like climate, the rich, fertile soil, and just the passion of the local winemakers. Many of the wineries are family-owned and operated. Cowichan also features a handful of cideries, distilleries, and breweries.
Well, I've been watching the region for some time, and I think for those who don't know it, the explosion of wineries and growth is something to be seen. And of course, for people who want to get up there, they should start planning their tour.
Yeah, I'd recommend spending multiple days in the region and just enjoying the unhurried pace. There are a handful of hotels, plenty of B&Bs and vacation rentals. And if you want to leave the planning to someone else, I would recommend taking a guided winery tour with one of our local tour operators.
A lot of people love to visit wine regions like the Cowichan during the harvest. What major events happen annually that visitors can look forward to?
Well, the annual Cowichan Valley Wine Festival will be happening this year over the month of August. It's a great opportunity to enjoy award-winning wines, experience the vineyards, and meet the winemakers in person. This October, we have the annual Cider Harvest Festival at Marydale Cidery and Distillery. This event features over 15 BC cideries, And they also have the annual Craft Spirit Festival in November, which brings in over 10 of BC's top craft distillers.
Mm. Well, it's one of BC's premier wine and spirit producing regions, and it's fair to say that there are plenty of opportunities for those who like to have the odd drink or two in the Cowichan. Thanks for sharing, Kenzie.
You're very welcome.
Hey, make your plans to visit the Cowichan Valley at tourismcowichan.com. Till the next time, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
Plan your family road trip this summer to Penticton. Stop in for a visit to one of the local wineries and make sure to mark your calendar and then head for Peach Fest August 9th to 13th. 5 days of free family fun, including parades, live music, entertainment, carnival rides, sports, delicious food, and more. Penticton is the ideal destination for a summer getaway with the whole family. Before you go, make sure to check the website for lots more upcoming events at visitpenticton.com.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio, on location from Red Rooster Winery. Presented in part by Visit Penticton, online at visitpenticton.com. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We're on location at Red Rooster Estate Winery on the Naramata Bench. Thanks to our good friends at Visit Penticton. And our guest is Nelson Annable. He's the head of sales and marketing for his family's Millionaire's Row Cider Company. Nelson, welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Cider is not my strength, but I don't need a lot of strength to drink it, so I think I'll be okay.
That sounds good.
Let's talk a little bit about Millionaire's Row. Let's talk about your family business, the background.
Yeah, so we're definitely farmers first, and we've always felt that way. Mm-hmm. We had an orchard before the cidery and just wanted to make a direct-to-consumer product. Yeah. We were doing commercial apples, and that's a little bit hard, and we felt it was very wasteful.
Yeah.
A lot of apples go onto the ground. We
sure.
thought it would be a lot better if we could just make something out of all the apples. So at this point in time, we're not doing any commercial apples at all. It all goes into cider or juice.
Which is great. Not just any old orchard, though. It is old.
It is old, yeah. It was purchased by the people we purchased it from in 1916. So they had it for 100 years before we came along.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's really cool. We still got lots of old trees, and then we got some of the new super spindle trees and everything. So it's cool to get to see the history of apple growing within just yeah. one 10-acre
orchard.
Is it
hard to grow apples? Like, I have no idea if it's harder than grapes or similar.
It's easier, I think, than grapes, probably, but it is still fruit. It's still hard. They definitely are the hardest to kill. You're not going to accidentally kill an apple tree.
Yeah.
And I think they're probably the most consistent.
Yeah.
And you're always going to get a crop. You're never going to really get zero out of them.
Mm-hmm.
There are up and downs with the yields and everything. They're pretty cyclical. So we had a bad yield last year. We'll probably have a better yield this year. But, you know, it is what it is. It's something we know how to do. And we've just stuck with apples all the way
sure.
through, no other fruits.
Well, I mean, obviously the Okanagan and Naramata, everybody, you're across the lake in Summerland.
Mm-hmm.
It was always about wine,
yeah.
but everybody's having their moment now. Cider's having a moment, craft beer's having a moment, cocktails are having a moment. How is the cider market? Who is the cider market?
The cider market's really for everyone. We have people of all demographics coming into the tasting room saying that they're starting to drink cider now.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's people who are now gluten-free. But that I saw a little bit more when we started, and now I'm just seeing people switch because they like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of new stuff in the market for cider, and that's bringing people around as well.
Yeah.
And I think that it's people starting to focus a little bit more on local stuff.
Mm.
So stuff that can be grown completely in BC, made in BC by people who live in BC. That's
yeah,
always nice.
That's great.
No import or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, you brought a couple of ciders. We should get to those so we don't run out of time. By the way, who's the millionaire here? Is it you or your folks or just the row?
Yeah, we get that question a lot. That's fair. historically, the area of land that we're located on was known as Millionaire's Row Cider, or Millionaire's Row.
Yeah.
So that's where we got the name. It was originally a ranch that was purchased by Lord Thomas Shaughnessy, and you hear that name all throughout history. He was the president of the Canadian Pacific Rail.
Right.
So him and all his rich business friends kind of purchased this area and developed it into little orchards, and that's where we get the name from, and that's why Summerland is the farming community it is today.
Yeah, sweet.
So it's kind of a nice story. It's a win-win story, and that's why we like to tell it.
Okay, High and Dry. What do we got here?
Awesome. So High and Dry is our classic straight down the middle English-style cider.
English-style cider. Yep. Can you quickly explain what that means to people?
A little bit more dry. 30% of that is cider apples. So we have 12 different cider apples on the property, and we use those in that. So it gives it that kind of astringent bite in the finish.
Mm-hmm. Nice and crisp and
clean. And crisp, easy to drink on a hot day.
Yeah, yeah, lovely. What and the alcohol is about 7.5%, something like that?
Yeah, so this vintage here of the High and Dry 7.5, which is our most recent vintage. And they always bounce around 7 to 7.5 for us.
Which sort of fits the trend of people wanting less alcohol or drinking less. So that's a nice gift to have.
Yeah, it's a nice percentage. I like it because I find stuff that's really low, you drink too many of them, like a light lager or something. Yep. And then wine, of course, is stronger, so it's not something you're going to sit out on the patio and enjoy a couple of.
Making a mint, which I'm sure is what you're doing over there at Millionaire's Row, this is a completely different animal.
Yeah, so this is our most unique one for sure, and it's mint, lemon, and hibiscus.
Wow.
It's meant to be like a cider mojito. That's essentially what we're going to.
A cider mojito. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And with cocktails having a moment, as you said, it's kind of worked out for us pretty good.
Yeah. It's a beautiful nose. So who dreams up all of these recipes, I guess?
We did the four originally in our first year that we still have, which is our dry, hop, modern, and mint. We kind of all did those together, the dry and the modern being a semi-dry cider, was kind of a given that we're going to do that. And we all like hop cider, so we went with that. And then we wanted something a little bit unique.
Yep.
Came up with this one, and it stuck. We didn't know if we were going to keep doing that one. We were like, oh, this is kind of a risk, and it really has stuck.
Dang
Can't get rid of that one. And now we currently have Full Steam Ahead, which is our spice cider, cranberry, clove, cinnamon as well.
Nice. Well, let's talk a little bit about what can happen if people want to visit you. People are used to visiting wineries and having all kinds of experiences. What would the cider experience look like at Millionaire's Row?
So we do it very similar to all the wineries. We don't do flights or anything like that. We just do tastings. So come in with your group, come up to the tasting bar, and we'll let you try all five of the ciders. It's a great experience. You get to hear the history of Millionaire's Row as well, and it's actually told by the photos that are on the bottle as well.
Can you get to a look at the vineyard or at the orchard?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right in the orchard. Our picnic area is right in the trees as well.
Yeah.
That's really cool. If you come when it's blooming or when the apples are ready, then they're all around you. Feel free to pick one and eat one.
Okay, you're the sales guy. Where can people find this cider besides visiting the winery?
Yeah, Save On Foods. Every Save On Foods with a liquor store in BC has it.
We're also
starting to get into a lot of the Angry Otters as well. And you can also ask and they can bring it in. But we're trying to get it in as many places as we can right now.
Sure. Not easy.
Not easy, no.
Yeah. And folks, don't look for cans. You're only bottles. Why is that? Who's in charge of that?
That was a decision we made just for the quality of the product. Cans, we just feel, didn't have the shelf life that we wanted. And then with kegs, we don't have the storage space, and we don't like the quality that comes out. Sometimes it feels a bit flat, and we really want to focus on having the highest quality product that we possibly can, more than just moving as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. So we've been tasting the High and Dry and making a mint. These are $9.49 per bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy them in four packs, or how does it people see them when they're out in stores?
Yeah, so in the liquor stores, they're individually sold like that. And then in our tasting room, you can buy them individually. You can also buy them in the four pack. They're $8.49, and you can buy them in the 12 pack at $7.49 each. And it's all mix and match. We made all our types the same price. So nice and simple for everybody.
Great to meet you, Nelson. Awesome. Now, you're open every day?
Every day, yeah.
From 11 to 5 p.m.?
At this point in time, we are, yeah.
Yeah, and you're just above the highway on Summerland on Dale Meadows Road.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. Cider, very tasty, actually. The first one is, as you described, crisp, clean, refreshing. a perfect summer drink. And the next one is very exotic. I love that.
That's a good way to explain it. Yeah. It's unique.
Great to see you.
Awesome. You as well. Thanks
for
having me.
That was Nelson Annable. He's a co-owner of Millionaire's Row Cider Co. Up next, Mike Coghill. He's the owner of Yellow Dog Brewery. He joins us on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. I'm Anthony Gismondi. We'll be right back.
More to come from Red Rooster Winery on the Naramata Bench. Presented in part by Visit Penticton. Online at visitpenticton.com.
Penticton, an incredible place for a romantic escape this summer. Stop in for a visit to one of the local wineries and sample the newest releases. Dine out and experience fantastic locally sourced restaurants too. After dinner, take a stroll along one of the beaches and enjoy the lake views. It's the ideal destination for a summer getaway with that special someone. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on vacation packages and upcoming events. Go to visitpenticton.com.
There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120 Reserva from Vina Santarita. Like reason number 11, it's Friday night and you have no obligations. Or reason number 37, your inbox is completely empty. It's all part of living La Vida 120, taking advantage of the simple side of life and enjoying every moment with the people you love with no complications. There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120. What's yours? Find out more at santarita.com.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120 Reserva from Vina Santarita. Like reason number 11, it's Friday night and you have no obligations. Or reason number 37, your inbox is completely empty. It's all part of living La Vida 120, taking advantage of the simple side of life and enjoying every moment with the people you love with no complications. There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120. What's yours? Find out more at santarita.com.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio, on location from Red Rooster Winery. Presented in part by Visit Penticton. Online at visitpenticton.com. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We're on the road again. Today we're on location at Red Rooster Estate Winery on the Naramata Bench, and our guest is Mike Coghill. He's the owner of Yellow Dog Brewery, which just had a soft opening at the end of May in the old Bad Tattoo location in downtown Penticton, so not far away from where we are right now.
No.
You're here to serve the bench.
I'm here to serve the bench and Penticton and all the Southern Okanagan.
Yeah. Will there be something different about Yellow Dog in Penticton, or will the beers be the same, or how will that work? Pretty famous for your beer.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice of you. This will be different in the sense that the Port Moody tasting room is just a brewery tasting room. So you come there. We have a few rotating food trucks and things like that, but it's your... Not typical, I think a little bit better than typical tasting room, but it's a standard brewery fare. Whereas here, this is going to be a large brewery, but a really cool, nice outdoor space, which is what we soft opened this weekend, just the outdoor space, which we're calling the Dog Park. Yeah. And then we're going to have a full food program to go with the beer at this location as well.
And you're like a couple hundred feet from the beach.
Yeah,
that doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it's like a block and a half. It's great when you're done at the beach, walk up and... a beer and some snacks.
Have a beer, yeah. Well, let's talk a bit about Yellow Dog. Now, remember, I'm a wine guy, so how would you describe the style of your beer, and what are some of your big sellers?
We're known mainly for our hoppy beer, so we have Chase My Tail Pale Ale, High Five Hazy IPA, Play Dead IPA, so there's a theme, they're all named after dog tricks, and that's what we're kind of known for. Those beers have become, you know, quite popular over the years, and that's kind of the impetus for Penticton, was to give our brew team more avenue and ways to explore different types of beers.
Yeah. You're not new to Penticton, though. You have another brewery in Penticton as well. Is it a sister brewery or a brother brewery?
Yeah, that's what we call it, sister brewery. We opened neighborhood here, I guess we're going on two years in October.
Yeah.
And yeah, people think we're a little bit crazy opening another brewery like two doors down from where neighborhood is. But yeah. We love Penticton, and we think it's a great spot for Yellow Dog.
Did you know much about beer when you got started?
I knew about beer. Like, we used to travel for beer quite a bit. Like, that was kind of like our hobbies.
Yeah.
But I had my wife and I both had corporate jobs at the time, and we were just kind of hitting our expiration date on those. And that's what we wanted to do. And my experience translated in beer. And so we were the first one to open in Port Moody and start the what's now famous Brewer's Row.
Yeah. And the whole Yellow Dog theme and all that, the dog theme, was that? That was part of the original marketing, or
So the Yellow Dog was based off our dog at the time, Chase. So the actual logo of the Yellow Dog can is a picture that we had of him turned into a logo, and that's why the first ever beer we put out was called Chase My Tail Pale Ale, kind of an ode to him as well, too.
Yeah, our guest is Mike Coghill. He's the owner of Yellow Dog Brewery. You've done a lot for dogs too with beer. You've done some work with the SPCA.
Yeah, essentially we partial proceeds from all beer that we do go towards the SPCA. We recently helped sponsor them for a wing in Richmond for one of their facilities. Mm-hmm. That's all spearheaded by my wife. She's a huge animal lover, and anything they need help with, she kind of tries to help where they can. So
rescue dogs, don't go and buy a new dog. Rescue dogs.
Correct. Yeah, that's where we've got all our dogs since.
And the way to go.
And they do great things in communities.
Yeah. You brought some beer today. Why don't we talk about a couple of these beers? Maybe we can go in a little bit in depth into them. What have you got here?
Yeah. So Squirrel Chaser is one of our flagship beers. It's a hazy pale ale, so it's easier drinking than maybe the IPA, but still got those cool tropical notes and hints of grapefruit and things like that.
Yeah.
And then when we were honored when Bad Tattoo approached us about taking over their old space, they had a couple beers that the community was passionate about, so we didn't want them to
disappear.
Go by the wayside or disappear. Yeah. So we took one of Bad Tattoo's old popular beers, which was Cerveza Negra, and which we are rollover, so in our theme of tricks, and rebranded it and sent it out there for community. So we kept that going, and then we have El Perro, which is Cerveza Clara, so two easy popular ones there. It's kind of our, you know, homage to their old thing, and we're still friends with the family, so we wanted to keep that kind of going.
Did you know that beer, the rollover beer?
Yeah, I knew it from, we've been coming to Penticton even before neighborhood opened.
Sure.
So we were familiar with it
and
we're friends, like I said, we're friends with the family, so it's a great beer.
Is it easy to be in the beer business? Like people always say it's tough in the wine business, the regulations are crazy, all that sort of stuff. Is it the same in beer, or?
Yeah, it really is the same. Like, the government regulates alcohol really the same way, whether it's beer, cider, wine, makes it harder. And breweries, as you know from Vancouver, is we've seen an explosion of craft breweries over the years. So it's more and more people competing for the same amount of space.
Same amount of space, yeah.
And so you just got to keep your quality up and keep your creativity up and go from there.
Yeah. What do you think makes a really good craft brewery? What are some of the things that have to happen?
Well, I think right now, because it's a crowded marketplace, I think you have to start with a good concept and a good branding for its thing.
Yeah.
Then you know...
The quality of your
beer. The quality is paramount, because if people are attracted to your branding and the beer isn't as good in there, then you kind of get one shot to win them over. So to me, it's make your product stand out, but then make sure the product that's in there holds up to that standard that you think good craft beer should be.
Yeah, and if you're... when you think about those kind of beers, is there something that you can do to achieve that that's different than anybody else, or
recipe makes a difference, so it's the creativity that the brewmaster
does. There's some secrets, I guess.
There totally is, it's how you craft that beer from a recipe, from malt to hops, and what type of hops you get and everything like that is thing. And so that comes down to the talent of your brewmaster. And then a lot of it is about good quality control practices, though, too, to make sure that that beer that people experience, if they really love it, it's repeatable.
Yeah.
And you have that same experience with that beer time in and time out.
Hey, I'm talking with Mike Coghill. He's the owner of Yellow Dog Brewery. What about the market, the people? Who's drinking beer now? That is it the same people? Has it changed a lot? Is the place full of women? Is it only men?
I think it's a broad. I don't think you can really narrow it down to one thing. Like,
yeah.
I think it's grown. Like, craft beer in BC has grown exponentially the last 5 years. Like, to the point, it's one of the highest market craft beer in BC market share of any province in Canada.
Yeah.
But the stories I tell is people always think it's those old guys that go to the pub and they're going to the breweries. But
yeah.
I tell them stories like at Yellow Dog, we have a mom's group that goes there every Tuesday with their newborns and stuff like that. Yellow Dog has a run club that runs out of it that with like 50 people. And so it's different walks of life. And then in Penticton, like for neighborhood or Yellow Dog, like there's a large retirement community up here too. And so we get those. So it's very, very diverse. Yeah.
So it's kind of a community thing too. Beer drinking now, it's these craft brewers sort of represent the community or the neighborhoods that they're in.
Yeah, it's kind of like flying your flag a little bit in the sense that the brewery in your community, you're proud of it, and you wear their t-shirts, you wear their hats, you promote their beer, and every community in BC for the most part has that brewery in it now.
Do you have ambitions, or can you export beer, or is that against the sort of what you're about?
No, we haven't had the space to be able to do it. And then, but there's also so much more. Like we talked about anchors, which is that quality thing of it, how you transport it there, how fast you can get it, what it's like when it's there. You don't want to just kind of throw it on the shelf and let people try something that may not be to the quality you want. So you got to figure out the back end work to how that would work when you do it.
You sitting here, you look pretty successful to me with all the things that you got going on. I think you're going to have a great run in Penticton. Competing against yourself too, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
How do those meetings go?
I talk to myself a lot. My wife will say and see what the ideas are. It comes down to our team. We have a great team that helps me execute these things. And, we're excited to be here.
Yeah. Great to catch up with you. We've been tasting the Squirrel Chaser.
Yes.
Hazy Pale Ale.
Yep.
And the rollover, the homage to the old brewery Cerveza Negra. And where can they buy these besides, obviously, on site?
Yeah, Yellow Dog is available at all private, not all, but most private retailers through BC, and then government liquor stores. And then some of these new ones that we're brewing up here, they'll start in Penticton, and then they'll slowly grow into all of BC, the same idea.
Great. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Real pleasure to chat with you. That was Mike Coghill. He's the owner of Yellow Dog Brewery. We're coming to you from Red Rooster Estate Winery on the Naramata Bench. Up next is Miranda Halliday. She's a co-owner of Elephant Island Orchard Wines. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come from Red Rooster Winery on the Naramata Bench. Presented in part by Visit Penticton. Online at visitpenticton.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and after 4 decades in the wine business, I know that the wine you like is always the best one for you. Anyone who tells you differently is simply wrong. The trick is how to get there. My advice? Try as many different wines as possible to discover your favorites. We evaluate about 3,000 wines a year at GismondiOnWine.com to help you sort through the clutter in the market, and we make it easy to search through our results. After all, life is way too short to drink bad wine. So why not give us a go at GismondiOnWine.com? Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Aaron Krebda, the Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Aaron, do you have any suggestions on what to check off your bucket list before summer ends?
I do, Anthony. I would suggest you experience a show at Thunderbird Show Park. Tickets are value-priced. It's one of North America's premier equestrian facilities, hosting 9 weeks of globally recognized hunter and jumper tournaments per year.
Well, that's interesting. And if watching the equestrian events inspires you, can you ride horses in Langley?
Yes, you definitely can. There's several companies in South Langley that offer trail rides on the many trails within our local parks. Some trails are even dedicated as horse and rider only.
All right. What else would be on your summer bucket list?
I think summer isn't complete without some ice cream. Fort Langley has a variety of shops and you can wander down to the Fraser River to enjoy. Many of our local farms serve great options, and I recommend trying some goat milk gelato at Milner Valley Farms. And while you're there, you can say hello to their herd of very cute goats.
Well, that's unique. So we have horses and ice cream so far.
Yes, and on the theme of cute animals, two other spots come to mind. Many people are not aware that the incredible conservation and education work that the Greater Vancouver Zoo does. And then just down the street, you have the opportunity to see alpacas at Kensington Prairie Farm, and you can book a tour or the unique opportunity to walk an alpaca.
And Langley has such a variety of local farm options.
We really do. Try visiting a local berry farm. You have the option for you-pick or to grab plots that are ready to go.
And all these details will be on your website.
That's right.
Erin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Anthony. I'll talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio, on location from Red Rooster Winery. Presented in part by Visit Penticton. Online at visitpenticton.com. Here again is Anthony Gismondi. Havana, ooh, na, na. Hey.
Half of my heart is in Havana, ooh, na, na. Hello, BC, and thanks for listening wherever you are across British Columbia on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. We're coming to you from the Naramata Bench. Our guest is Miranda Halliday. She's the co-owner of Elephant Island Orchard Wines. Miranda, great to see you. It's been a long time.
I say. It's the COVID time lapse that...
You went backwards, though. You look like 20 years younger than the last time I met you. What are you doing up there on the bench?
Well, maybe it's, you know, it's this. It's the beautiful fresh air and sunshine that keeps us healthy.
You've had a great project up there. Looking back now, how has it been what you thought it would be, or more or less? Or
it's, you know, I mean, with everything there's joys and heartbreaks, but on balance, we're incredibly blessed to live where we do. Naramata is a magical community, and I think that the industry that we have there has benefited from that community. It's so collegial and collaborative and oriented towards elevating what we're doing collectively, that part of it, I think, just brings so much added benefit to living where we live, not just the wines we're making, but, you know, it's the Friday night dinners at Manitou Beach that we're trying wine, but, you know, it's the food that goes along with it and the people that you share it with. So, yeah, it's kind of amazing to look back and think that we're now, I think, the second oldest original owners on the bench. Kettle Valley, Bob and Tim are the originals, but beyond that, makes Del and I feel a little old.
Well, you've had you always had a great commitment to the land, and long before sustainability became a big thing here, but it's very big now on the bench. Mm-hmm. Seems like everybody has figured it out that we need to go that way.
Yeah, I think, I mean, maybe that's the lens that the world is looking through right now, but certainly, you know, for us, there was that realization when we first started that diversity is a good thing, and diversity when it comes to farming, I think, is also very, very important. I mean, the aspects of monoculture and single crop farming and the baggage that comes along with kind of that industrialized approach is, you know, when we're seeing the events that we have now becoming more and more apparent how damaging that practice has been. So, I mean, if you look at our model and kind of this commitment to preserving the agricultural diversity and heritage of what has happened in Naramata, it holds us in good stead because our eggs are never all in one basket. So,
and they're pretty good eggs.
Thank you.
Miranda Halliday is our guest co-owner of Elephant Island Orchard Wine. Speaking of diversity, I don't want to run out of time. You brought two crazy wines with you that are about as diverse as I think I've ever tasted at the same time.
Yes, we won't taste them at the same time, one after the other.
What shall we start with?
I would go with the Cab Franc first.
Okay, so this is a Cab Franc Merlot blend?
It is. So this is our Naysayer.
Yeah.
It's kind of our signature blend, and we had fun with this when we were naming it. It was a little bit of a nod to the people that said we didn't make real wine at Elephant Island. So we were saying, no, there's no naysayers here. We'll take that challenge, and launched into Cab Franc. And it's held us in good stead. It does very well on our site. From the 2018 vintage. And we're holding on to our reds for a little longer. Thankfully, we have the benefit of other aspects of our portfolio that don't require that we kick those reds out the door quite as early.
That is a lovely, savory, silky Cabernet Franc Merlot. Mm. And it's just sort of opening up now at 5 years of age. It's a lovely wine.
Mm.
You got to be happy with that.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, to me, the Cab Franc does so well, too, with our climate. I find that that's something that, I'm not saying more from the growing perspective, but from the consuming perspective, mm-hmm. I love it because it is a little bit lighter bodied, and those savory elements to me speaks to like the farmer's market, fresh vegetables on the barbecue, meal.
No, and the texture is fantastic.
Yeah, that silkiness is definitely something that has come through as a kind of a signature character.
Because it's so easy to make silky wines, right?
Oh, I'll say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Wow, that's a wonderful wine. And we're going to contrast that now with the second wine.
Yeah, so going back...
Which is back to the roots.
Back to the roots. So obviously our winery was founded on this commitment to agricultural diversity. Fruit wines were core to our portfolio and what we came out of the door with. Crab apples are kind of a really interesting crop. We grow them on our own property. And from what we know, they're the only... It's the only commercially planted crab apple orchard in Canada. The crab apples originally were used as pollinators for other apple crops, and so we took some cuttings from farms in Summerland and planted a dedicated crop. The most incredible blossom you will ever see.
Really?
Crab apples. Oh, yeah. And this one is the flavor roller coaster. You know, it has that incredible contrast to velvety and sweet, and then the skin comes through on the finish and kind of...
And the acid.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. You think it's going to be a really sweet finish, and then the acid just pumps up there and cleans it right out.
Yeah.
And you're saying, I got to have another one. I got to have another taste of this.
It's fun. It's a fun
it's
wine.
It's crazy. I don't think... I'm really shocked by the quality of this wine.
Awesome.
Yeah. Where have I been?
Where have you been?
You know, you just go down these roads and you forget about crab apple wine. Wow.
You know what? Roads are better than rabbit holes.
Yeah.
So
that's a great saying.
I'll take you.
I'm going to remember that one.
You can come down Naramata Road anytime and reacquaint yourself with crab apple wine. Mm. But it's great with like hot and spicy dishes. And then we have a lot of fun with our fruit wines. We've got a whole list of cocktail recipes that go with them. But they do have a place with food. And that was really one of the intentions that we set out with.
Is there something different about making the wines from fruit, from apples, say, versus grapes? Or... Is it the same process in your mind?
The science, I mean, we've always stood by the fact that the science is the same. You know, I mean, you're converting the sugar to alcohol. And the intention is the same because you're looking to find a balance in terms of stylistic balance that suits what that fruit will give you.
Right.
I think more of the challenges that Dell's had are some of the physical challenges in dealing with the fruit. So adapting equipment to be able to deal with, you know, things that are super high in pectin or things that oxidize extremely quickly. Mm-hmm. As we reflected, it's been a long time. So we feel like we've kind of sorted those things out. But
yeah. So both of these wines, so how can people buy these wines? What's the simple way?
I mean, so get to the winery. Yeah, get to the winery. Absolutely. Come visit Penticton Naramata. That's the best way to taste them in place, mm-hmm. And buy them. But of course, we like to take that feeling and ship it to you too. So you can buy them online.
Why not?
And then we also have distribution within British Columbia at private beer and wine stores.
Yeah. Now tell us about visiting. What's available? People come by and bother you all day long, or you just...
We welcome them.
You
yes.
don't lock up the doors
no,
and say
so,
we're not here?
Yeah, we're open daily now, 11 to 5, and we go 11 to 6 in the summer. Mm-hmm. But we have a beautiful tree-shaded courtyard, and I think people really kind of enjoy the experience. It is different because you're surrounded by a 5-acre cherry orchard, so... In the heat of the summer, it's kind of lovely because we have these huge oak trees that my grandmother has had planted 50 years ago now.
Wow.
Oh my God. And then, of course, the cherry orchard, and it has a real magical quality to it that I pass back to her and her vision in creating the space, which wasn't a winery at the time, but, you know, she was a... architect, and she loved creating magical places, which she did. So
people can come by and do that. They can hang out on the property.
Yeah, well, we have the courtyard, so we do seated tastings in the courtyard. Okay. And they're very relaxed, and we like to make sure that people feel like they're informed and but welcomed, right? So ultimately it's a really relaxed vibe to come by and sit and taste. We have a few events where we'll have food trucks or specialty offerings on hand.
Sure.
And in the shoulder season, too, picnics are welcome.
Picnics. Mm-hmm. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, elephantislandwine.com. People can go to that site and check everything out and look at the wines and the pricing availability and getting them shipped out or whatever. And then if you visit Elephant Island, I'm sure that you have a fountain of information about what's going on the bench and where people can go to have a nibble or dinner, or you should go here or try that out, or because there's so much here to discover.
There is. I mean, Naramata has kind of gone through this renaissance of late in terms of food and wine offerings. The inn is doing beautiful things. And then there's a few of the wineries on the drive out now have some interesting offerings as well. And you know, just the Naramata store too has...
The Naramata store is pretty cool.
They've upped their game, and they have of course we have some connections there with Cynthia and David having bought into it, and Mike and Carol from Beaches are running it. So you know, that's the place to make a picnic and head to the beach and grab your wine. And
they have a nice wine selection there. They've even brought some imported wines in, which I think is important to have both,
100%.
To have people to, you know, so that they can gauge what's going on.
Yeah, where we fit and what we look like in comparison to these other regions. And in fact, it's
hilarious.
We look
pretty good, by the way, you know.
Well, that's the endorsement we need.
Well, it's been a massive change.
Yeah.
Really, in the last sort of 5 to 7 years, I can honestly say that the quality has really jumped up to what people were talking about 20 years ago, but wasn't. Now it is
at
that level.
You think about that within the context of the history of this region is so small. It's actually kind of impressive.
Oh, yeah. It's a short period of time, a lot of learning and a lot of input. And, well, folks, jump in the car. Get up to Penticton, head for the bench, and
get on the road, not the rabbit hole.
Yeah, get on the road. Don't go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Get off the internet.
That's right.
Yeah.
Unless you're listening to this show, in which case that's totally great.
Okay, we'll let them do that.
Yeah.
Miranda, it's so great to see you.
Yeah, awesome.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Miranda Holliday. She's the co-owner of Elephant Island Orchard Wines. That's it for today's show. Special thanks to our hosts here at Red Rooster Estate Winery on the Naramata Bench, our production team, including on-site producer Mike Whittingham, our studio producer, Dwayne Bishop, assignment producer, Sherry Caleb, and our director of operations, Stu Ferguson. I'm Anthony Gismani. For all of us at the show, thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week across the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Until then, enjoy your weekend.
That's it for today's show. On location from Red Rooster Winery on the Naramata Bench. Presented in part by Visit Penticton. Online at visitpenticton.com.